And he reached down his head for me. When he reached down his hand for me, I was lost.
Verse 4 again.
Amen.
Since the Lord gave me peace, heavenly joy, Lord, I give all my life unto Thee. God, my feet, hold my hand, blessed with Thee, I may stand.
Righteousness is filthy rags.
From the strength I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Table, a good
good place to sleep. Clothes on my back and the shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been. That will raise a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, oh, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, oh, and eyes that can see. Yes, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. Oh, I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised my brothers and sisters and the memories made. A pastor to lead us, the altar to pray. Stripes that can heal and the blood that still saves. Oh, I have been blessed. Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Yeah. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. A flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. Some gave some, oh, but some gave their all. For we to be blessed. My shoulder to lean on when I am down. Amen. Amen. The rock where He leads me when I'm so overwhelmed. The place where He hides me right under His wings. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. Cause I have been blessed. Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough. So I'll just pray for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind.
Thank you, Lord.
God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
I'm going to start reading at verse number 40. At verse number 40 in Luke chapter number 2. And you pray for me, I covet your prayers. And this is what Luke chapter number 2 and verse 40 start reading. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among the kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Would ye help me pray? Precious God, we come to you, Lord Father, one more time today. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for your songs. We pray, Lord Father, at this time, Lord, you anoint me with that fresh oil, Lord Father, from up on high. God, I pray today, Lord God, you preach me. Lord, have mercy and forgiveness upon this flesh, Lord, and preach through me, Lord, your gospel. Lord, that it may be the power of salvation to them that would believe it. God, I pray for the hearts of them that will hear it. I pray for the hearts of them, Lord Father, that will receive it. I pray for the hearts of them, Lord, that be willing to do as your Spirit, as you bid them to do. And God, I pray today, Lord Father, not to leave us unchanged. Not to leave us, Lord Father, in the same condition that we were in when we came in. Oh, I do believe, Lord Father, though we may come to the house of God in one state, Lord, I do know this, your word will not go out and return unto you void. It will serve the purpose and that which is sent. But God, let me lose sight of myself, hide me in the midst of the cross, and help these stammering lips, Lord Father. Help me to block off my own preconceived notions and thoughts. And Lord, and let you, that I may have be at free access of thy Holy Ghost power to preach through me. It's in Jesus' sweet, precious, beautiful and holy righteous name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading today. Here in this precious scripture of Luke, we find probably a familiar story for most people or for most Bible readers. But for some of you, this is right after 12 years, I guess you'd say, after the birth of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how they had went to the Passover and how we read the story, how he had tarried behind while the people went on back. But there's a certain part of this scripture that God's laid upon my heart. And I remember reading this, Brother James, but it never stuck out to me as it has here these last couple months. And that's in verse number 49, when Jesus asked this question. He said, How is it that you sought me? He's asked his own mother, and he asked Joseph. He said, How is it that you sought me? Or in other words, is it why did you seek me? Or in other words, if I can say, how did you seek me? The Lord laid upon my heart about how is it, why is it that we seek the Lord? And have we sought Him in that from a pure heart? And can I say today, I was reminded as we were sitting there, and it was under the blood, oh, praise His dear name. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm reminded almost every day of my past, for the ghost of sin that haunts my mind, that reminds me of the things that I once did, and sometimes it's hard to bear. But I'm glad that I can report to you today that it is under the blood. And I can say, praise His dear name. I'm glad that Jesus paid the price. But can I say this today? Oftentimes people will say, I found the Lord, or I found religion. But can I say this? We never found Jesus Christ, because He never was lost. He knew exactly where He was the whole entire time. But I'm glad He found me. But can I say this? I was a-looking for Him when He was a-looking for me. I wanted to be found. I wanted the Lord in my life. I didn't know the capacity. I didn't know the length or the depth or the height of having God in my life. I just thought it would be the worst decision that I had ever made. And I have found out that I could never have been more wrong about anything in my life than to think that being a child of God would be the worst decision to make in my life. Can I say today it is the best decision that I have ever made in my life? But you have to seek the Lord. You have to desire Him with your whole heart. As I've said here before, Brother Sterling Boland made a very big impact in my life when I was young and in the ministry. And he said some words that kind of got stuck in my heart, and I agreed 100%, and I'll share it again. You can't get saved just any old time you want to. And the reason why, I want to explain that, and the reason why that is said, because you can't get saved unless the Holy Ghost is drawing at your heart. And the reason why I'm saying that is, it is to cut out all confusion and to cut out all things of man being a part of it. Salvation is solely based upon what Christ did on Calvary. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. The work was done upon Calvary, and Calvary's work is complete. Somebody say amen. When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, He said, it is finished. I'm glad to know today that when it was finished on Calvary, there's nothing left for Him to do when it comes to salvation. Y'all hear this, preacher? And I'm glad to know today that it wasn't nothing that I did, but it was something that He did. Don't get me wrong, I ain't saying church don't play a part in it, and I ain't saying Christians don't play a part. But what we are, we're the roadside, we're the messengers, we're the fingers pointing towards the cross of Calvary. And if there's anything going to be done, it's the power of God working through the individual. But the Holy Ghost has got to tug at your heart. It's got to grab a hold of you. And when it gets a hold of you, then you're in a prime candidate. You're in the spotlight of God, the crosshairs of salvation. And then it's that you can be saved. Don't get me wrong. I've heard people, I say you can't get saved anytime you want to. I've heard people tell me, they said, preacher, just one day I decided to go get saved. And I just got up and went to church, knelt down, and the deacon saved me that day. It don't work that way. I've heard people say, well, the preacher saved me. It don't work that way. Can I tell you, if you're ever going to be saved, it's going to be through and by the Spirit of God, because of the blood of God, and because of Calvary and an empty tomb. But can I say this to go along with that? You can't get saved unless you want to. You can't get saved unless you want to get saved. God is not going to kick down your heart's door and bum rush you and do a home invasion of your life and say, I'm setting up shop here. He's a gentleman. He is love. He knocks upon your heart's door. And if you'll have it, as the old timers would say, He would woo you and let you know that it is Him. Chris, I know beyond a shadow of any doubt in my mind when God knocked on my heart's door. I don't know how I knew it. I don't know why I knew it. All I know is I just knew that it was God knocking on my door. And you said, preacher, how can He do that? Well, the best way I can explain that is He's God. He can do whatever He wants. And when He knocked upon my heart's door, I knew it was God. And I knew He was speaking to me. I didn't have to nudge the person next to me. I didn't have to go home and ask mom or dad or the preacher. As a matter of fact, I was too scared to ask the person next to me or go ask the preacher. But I knew there was something on the. I knew there was something happening on the inside. And the day God saved me, I wanted to get saved. So when I say you can't get saved when you want to, but you can't save unless you want to, it's because everything rests solely in the hands of God when it comes dealing with you. And can I say this today? When Jesus asked the question, He was saying, how is it that you sought me? Or why did you seek me? Now I'd like the Lord, as the Lord has laid upon my heart, I want to relay the things that He's given me in my heart to give unto you. Why did you seek the Lord? Just exactly why did you seek Him? If you sought Him for a brand new car, can I say this? You've sought Him for the wrong reason. If you sought Him for a brand new house, you've sought Him for the wrong reason. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about after salvation. I'm talking at the time, the first time you met up with God. I've heard people say, well, I sought Him because of this situation or that situation. I'm telling you, if you ever got saved, you sought the God. You sought God because He stirred your heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 29 and verse number 13, He said, and you shall seek Me and find Me when you shall search for Me with all of your heart. You have to search with Him with everything that you got. You can't just search with Him with 50% of your heart. You can't just search Him with 50% of your life. You can't just say, well, I'm going to search for Him on Sunday, but I'll just take me a hiatus and a rest or a vacation Monday through Saturday and go seek other things of life that bring my flesh some joy. But when Sunday comes back around, I'll pick up my Bible and pick up my search to go find God. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Can I say this? Sometimes sometimes I neglect the fact that God is with me every day of my life, and I don't seek Him in that right early. And if I don't seek Him early, I won't seek Him in the middle of the day, nor will I seek Him in the evening. But I'm glad in my weakness of my flesh, I'm glad He's still there, and He still loves me and lets me know that He cares. But the Bible says in Jeremiah that if you're going to seek Him, you'll find Him, but you've got to seek Him with all of your heart. You got to seek Him with 100%. You got to seek Him with a desire that you need to find Him, sink or swim, live or die. It's the most important thing of your life that you've got to do is to seek the Lord. I've heard people say, well, I sought Him just because mommy and daddy was in church, or I sought Him just because the preacher stopped by my house. Don't get me wrong. Those are good reasons to have a desire. But I'm telling you, but the best thing to do to seek Him with all your heart is because you need Him 100% in your heart. He says in Isaiah chapter number 55, verses 6 and verse number 7, He said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. But the next verse says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for we will abundantly pardon. Can I say this? If Isaiah seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near, that's telling me that there will be a time when He won't be found, and that'll tell me there'll be a time when He will not be near. I think in 2015, and in the United States of America, I don't know how it is over in Indiana or up in Michigan, in Kentucky or Pennsylvania, but it seems like in Southwest Ohio, we all have a mindset, we just think God's always going to be around. All we got to do is ring the bellhop bell, and God is always going to answer to our beck and call. It seems like in this day and age, I don't want to get too many amens on this. I've got to give you what God's given me. Fellow folks seem to think, well, I'll just call upon Him just any old time that I need Him, and He's always going to be there. Yep. May I say this? He reminded us through what He told Noah, it being written in Genesis chapter number 6. He says, my spirit will not always strive in that with man. I'm telling you this, if God's spirit is not beckoning, if God's spirit is not there to call upon, if God is not there to be found, we're all people miserable. There's no hope. I don't care if you live 250 years. I don't care if you outlive Methuselah. But if the spirit of God, if God's not there to call upon, you're in trouble in that today. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I thought God was a loving God. Why would He not hear my calls and hear my cries? Well, it's because of what Jeremiah said. It's because we don't call upon Him with all of our heart. Can I say this today? That when He told him that He said you should seek Him while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 and verse number 5, Uzziah is the king, and there's a man of God by the name of Zechariah in his presence. And thank God for the man of God who's around to remind us. Amen. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26, 5, Uzziah, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Can you look at that one more time? Made him to prosper. I'm glad to know this today, that if we seek God while He can be found and call upon Him while He's near, you don't have to worry about being pushed down, put down, playing second best or being at the bottom of the list. The Bible says if you seek Him while He's there, if you seek Him with all your heart, He'll make you to prosper. The Bible says as long as you're seeking Him, He'll make you to prosper. That reminds me of Proverbs chapter number 28 and verse number 13. Because it says that he that covereth up their sin shall not prosper. Can I say this today unto you, friend? You may be here and you may be saved or you may be lost. I'm telling you, sin is the number one enemy in our world today. I know some folks is trying to have power over the devil, but you ain't got power over the devil. Some folks is trying to have power over their life, but you ain't got power over your own life. You ain't got power over your own temptations and lusts. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and save us from this lost and dying. Anybody hearing this preacher this morning? I feel pretty good. I know what time it is, but I feel like preaching to about midnight tonight right now until somebody seeks God with all their heart. Uzziah sought the Lord, and he sought Him with an honest heart because the man of God was telling him that God's visions and God's words was being proclaimed, and Uzziah sought the Lord. May I remind everybody, Uzziah is the one who got the letter from the enemy, from the armies and the enemies of God. And he laid out the letter unto God and said, God, would you please take a look at this letter? For I don't know what to do. He was pretty honest in his seeking of God, Brother James. He laid it out and let God have everything about what was going on. Uzziah gave all of his heart. Uzziah was a king who did not hold anything back. Uzziah was one who wanted everything opened unto God. Uzziah was the one who tried not to cover up any of his sins. And can I say today, the reason why some of us can't prosper, and the reason why some of us can't get ahead in life, and the reason why some of us can't just find our place in this world, is because we've got our sins covered up and we're afraid to let anything be shown. But can I remind everybody here today, your sins are open unto the eyes of the Lord. When you're covering them up, that means you're afraid to say something. You're afraid to do something. Don't get me wrong. I've been there. I've covered up my sins. And it's cost me dearly. It's cost me moving in this life. It's cost me blessings. It's cost me places that God could have sent me. But oh, but the Bible says if you confess those sins and forsake those sins, you shall have mercy. Woo! I'm glad this morning or this afternoon that not only do we have a sin problem, and he tells us don't cover them up or we won't prosper, but he lets us know exactly what to do with them so we can have mercy. May I remind everybody that mercy is not old mercy. It's not Old Testament mercy. It's not stale mercy. It's not self-mercy. But it's brand new mercy every single morning. Well, preacher, somebody says, I don't deserve mercy. You go tell them to go pound salt or go look up and have an argument with God, because God says in Lamentations chapter number 3, His mercy is renewed daily and given unto His people. Amen. Woo! Amen. That should make all of you shout. Some of us has got some sins so old and covered up, we have to take a pickaxe and a backhoe to get to them. Somebody say amen right there. And I'm being serious too. Somebody says, preacher, how come you just seem like you ain't got no problems in the world? Anything, I ain't got no problems. It ain't like I ain't got no sins I got to deal with. But I get hit so hard with them, I get tired of getting whooped. I said, God, here's everything. Here's everything. My daddy had whooped me. I'd rather take a whooping from my dad than take that long distance punishment where he just bellers at you for like 2 or 3 days. And you're just anticipating the whooping, don't know when it's coming. I'm like, Dad, hurry up, give me all the pain I'm going to get. I want it over now. That's how I am with God. Don't get me wrong. Nobody in here is perfect. And I know there's a lot of people who think they are perfect. And I used to be one of them people who thought I was perfect. Then God showed me all my unperfectness. Amen, that's right. And that's when God said, now you're getting somewhere, preacher. Because none of us is good, no, not one. It is Him that is good. And thank God that He has not rewarded us according to our sins, nor dealt with us according to our iniquities. But He's forgiven us. And He says, if you seek me with all your heart, and seek me as the man of God proclaims from the pulpit, and when you do it, don't cover up your sins, but let everything go, you shall prosper. Some of you are looking at me like a calf at a brand new gate because you've got sins and you think nobody knows about them. But can I tell you, sin will always find you out. Your sins will always find you out. You know how, I'll say this, and you all don't think I'll say it from the pulpit. I will. The reason why folks know about your sin, because loose lips sink ships, and people jabber, 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 jabber. They'll get on the phone and they'll got that phone ministry of earning. Y'all don't, I know some of you shaking your head and know exactly what I'm talking about. But somebody's afraid to say amen because some of you is guilty of doing it. Amen. You'll get on that phone and you'll run everybody down the road and everybody knows your sin. You know what? You can badmouth me to the hill, but the one I got to answer to, his name's God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ. And I give it all to him. Hey, you may have something to talk about, but I want to get it right. Instead of talking about each other, let's talk with each other and get things better with the Lord. That one was free. I didn't know it was a coming. Bless God on that one. But Uzziah knew that he had to seek the Lord. In Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 17, here's a promise. For you know that how that afterward, or no, I want to get to this before I get to the promise. In Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 17, I want to give you a little piece of what happens when you seek the Lord at the wrong time. And you seek him for the wrong reasons. A lot of times people don't want to get involved. And I'm just, you pray, James, I know you'll pray for me, pray for me. A lot of times people don't want to get involved until the blessings start getting handed out. Or the accolades get handed out. Ron, nobody wants to be around until the good times roll. Somebody say amen. Ain't that right? Oh, they're giving away something at church. I better show up that day so I can get mine. Is that right? But it's true. It's our nature. It's my nature. Not just it's my nature too. What you done is you sold your birthright. Because in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 17, Esau sold his birthright. He sold it unto his brother for a bowl of soup or a pottage. He sold it. He said, what good's my birthright if I die? Well, here's what's important about your birthright. It's what keeps you from dying and going to hell. In New Testament terms, if you'll have that. But Esau didn't care about his birthright until it came time for the father to pass out the blessings. Y'all hearing this preacher? Let me put this on our level. A lot of times people don't care too much about or have no thought about in their mind about what God wants done during the day until it comes time that we have to give an answer or the time that the blessing gets handed out. And this is what happened to Esau in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 17. It says, for ye know that how that after we're talking about Esau, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He sought it after it was time to get the blessing. So many times Esau didn't seek the repentance until the blessings were passed out. And he waited until it was too late to seek for the repentance. And can I say this here today? Some of you are not realizing this, and this needs to sink into our hearts. Saved people need to realize this. Just because you're saved does not mean God is your bellhop and Jesus is your cook. You can spurn the power of the testimony and you can have that spirit of rejection as Saul got it in the Old Testament. I know some people don't believe in that stuff, but I'm telling you this. You ask what happened to old Samson when he started dabbling in sin. And Samson's mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I know this is a Baptist church, and I'm Baptist diehard true and true. But I'm not talking about a shingle. I'm talking about baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. But some people seem to think just because we're saved and we're eternally saved, we can live any old way we want to. We can break every law of God and not love nobody and still think God's going to butter our bread and make our eggs the way we want it. And everything's going to be all right. But I got news for you, friend. When the blessings start getting passed out, you're getting nothing but judgment of wrath. So many times people don't realize in this saved life, we don't seek God. We think we got saved, we got everything figured out, and life is just hunky-dory. But I'm telling you, friend, as sure as I'm standing here, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching from experience and telling you it happened to me. It's happened in the Bible. There's people in this church that will say amen to this. When you cover up your sin and you don't deal with it and you don't get it under the blood and you don't seek what God wants you to seek when the time is to seek him, when it comes time for the blessings to be handed out, then you'll seek him, but you won't find it, though you seek it with tears. You said, preacher, you don't believe that, do you? I've seen them come to the altar and cry them crocodile tears. It looks like they're wailing and God is just hearing everything. And they get up and there's no change. They got this pale look upon their face. Y'all hearing this, preacher? I've seen them. Oh, they may paint the picture. They may wear the clothes and they may carry the King James Bible. But inside, they're lonely. Inside, they're lonely. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's a reason why to seek the Lord, because you fear Him. Secondly, in Psalm 83, 16, it says, fill their faces with shame that they may seek Thy name, O Lord. The psalmist is saying, Lord, even if you got to shame them that they'll seek You. And so many times, like in Acts chapter 17, verse number 27, Paul had said unto the church of the folks on Mars Hill, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might feel for Him, though that he might be very far from all of each and every one of us, or from all of them. He said, seek the Lord, feel after Him. In Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, he says, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must first believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. When's the last time you sought after the Lord? When's the last time you said, I'm going to seek Him till I find Him? In Jeremiah 50, in verse number 4, it says, in those days at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel will come, both they and their sons of Judah as well. And they will go along weeping as they go, and it will be the Lord that they are seeking, their God that they will seek. Why are they weeping? Why? They're seeking God. They're seeking Lord. The days of Jeremiah, they couldn't find Him. They couldn't find Him nowhere. And I've heard people say, well, God's everywhere. Well, He may be everywhere, but you won't find Him in the end. Y'all hearing this, preacher? You'll seek and you'll seek and you'll seek, but you won't find Him. In Proverbs 8, verse number 17, this is what the Lord had wrote through Solomon. He said, I love those who love Me, and those who diligently seek Me will find Me. Yep. It takes 100% of your heart, plus nothing, subtracting nothing. It takes 100% of your heart. It's putting the desires of this life and flesh to the side and seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He's near. Can I get back to the message and then we'll close? The first problem that they had, they were supposing that Jesus was with them. They just thought He was there. I wonder how many of us today walk into church and say, well, everything's going to be, because, you know, it's just how everything goes. He's there. How many woke up on Monday morning or Tuesday morning saying, God, He's just going to be there? Y'all with this preacher? Y'all ain't fell asleep on me yet, have you? I wonder how many we just said, well, you know, God, since I went to Sunday school and since I went to both services, not only did I shut the preacher up, but God, You're just going to be there on Thursday. I mean, You're just supposed to be there. I mean, Mary and Joseph and the whole clan that was with them, went a day's journey, they was just supposing that He was there. And when they found out He was not there, they went to looking. First of all, I want you to see in verse number 44, where they first started seeking for Jesus. They started seeking Him amongst the kinsfolk and the acquaintances. They went and looked amongst the family members and their friends. I wonder today if we could look amongst our family members and our friends if we can find the Lord. Better yet, let's flip it this way. I wonder if our family members and our friends went to looking for Jesus in us, would they find Him? Would they find Him in us? Can I say this, mom and dad? Those kids need to see Jesus in your life. Y'all hearing this? Because often I see people who don't take church as much as serious, or the walk with the Lord that very serious, until times it comes for blessings to be handed out or problems arise. But in between those times, we don't share the Lord. We don't do the things that God wants us to do, because we just figure He's the bellhop and the cook. He's always going to be there. And they just suppose He's always going to be there. And sometimes we just think, well, I had somebody tell me this one time that was in mine and Tammy's family. And they said, we was raised in church. I took my kids to church. I raised my kids in church. And I asked Tammy, I said, Tammy, did they really raise their kids in church? Tammy said, no, they probably went on Christmas or something like that. and they count that as raising their kids up in church. But can I say this? You may bring your kid to church. You may bring your family to church. You may bring your friends to church every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, every single outing, every single cooking, every single visit, every single concert. I didn't even know the gym on Thursday. But if you ain't got him on the inside on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they ain't going to find Jesus. They're going to find a religious person. I mean, you just, and some folks may think this is mean, and I don't, but some folks has got more religious acts and swear against Catholic people and their religious acts, and they got more than they do. They're looking for Jesus amongst the kinsfolk. They're looking for Jesus. And I've heard there's some people here that says, I had Jesus. I could see him in my mamaw. I could see him in my pawpaw. That should be an amen and a testimony in our life. Somebody says, I can see him in my mama and my daddy. Amen. That should be a testimony in our life. But we can't live upon their testimonies. Can the kinsfolk find Jesus in this person's life? Does the spouse see Jesus in you? Or do you see Jesus in your spouse? It's one thing to teach a Sunday school class. You can tell them to do as I say, but can they do as you do? What profit would it be if me stand up here and flap my gums and bitter like I do, and then I go out on Saturday, go to the gambling casino, And I tell everybody it's just because the buffet's real good. Then you catch me over at the slot machines and betting on the horses. Y'all look at me like I'm, y'all getting kind of toasty right there on that one. But some folks say, well, the preacher should live a right life. Well, the preacher's got to live a right life. Why can't everybody else?
Amen.
We're all preaching something. Right? Secondly, when they didn't find him, what did they do? They had to go all the way back for the last time they saw him. I want to give an update to everybody here, including this person. You won't pick up in the middle of the road and take off walking. You'll have to go back where the first place you forsook and left the Lord. They had to go all the way back to Jerusalem. 3 days they had to find him. It took them 3 days to find him. You had to go all the way back. Had a preacher one time tell me that. He says, you know where you'll find Jesus at there, child of God? You'll find him right where you left. Why did you seek the Lord? How is it that you sought him? Did you seek him amongst the family? If you can't find him, you need to go back to where he's at. You need to go back to where you first, the last time you had him. Or the last time you sought him. And lastly, where they found him at. They found him in church. You young people, look at me for a minute. Jesus was 12 years old. Now, a lot of people say, well, come on, preacher, he was Jesus, but he was 100% man just as much as he was Jesus. I wonder what would happen if we left you all 3 days to yourself. Would you wind up at church? You said, preacher, that's mean. You shouldn't say to our young people, I'm not saying they're mean or evil. I'm telling them that's how much importance church is. Don't get me wrong. I've heard people say, well, preacher, back in the old days, they went to church once a month. They went on the third Sunday of the month. And that's when they had church in the morning, had their business meeting in the evening on Saturday, and they made a big weekend. Don't get me wrong, I agree with that. I ain't got no problem with that. But what do you do with the scripture? It says in Hebrews that do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together as some others do, but we're to assemble ourselves the more as that day approaches. And I do believe that day's approaching. When they went looking for Jesus, Brother Jeff, they found him in church. They found him in church. I wonder when's the last time that you sought him? And lastly, when you sought him, did you find what you was looking for? Did you find what you needed? Why did you come to church this morning? Joan, I think you're willing and able to play on that piano just a little bit, didn't you? Bless your heart. Did you come to the piano? Play something real nice and soft. Why did you come to church this morning? Why'd you come? Are you running? Are you trying to hide? Are you thinking that maybe somehow, some way, that church attendance is going to pay the price? It never does. But I know a man who can. And his name's Jesus. Jeff, I do believe he makes himself available to all that will call upon him. The Bible says he's nigh unto them of a broken heart. He's close to them. And he's nigh unto all them that call upon him. Logan, but it says all of them that call upon him in truth. Why'd you come today? Do you need the Lord today? What do you need him for? I know right now somebody would say, well, I need him for this person, I need him for that person, and I need him for that situation. I'm not talking about all those other things. I'm talking about, why did you come to church today? Do you need him today? Do you need to seek him today? Have you got things buried so deep and you can't figure out why you don't prosper? That's the reason why. Why would you not come to the Lord and say, God, here's everything. You ain't got to confess them to me. You ain't got to confess your sins to the church. But come and give it to God. Why would you carry such a load? Why would you keep them covered up? What are you afraid of? I had somebody say, well, preacher, I don't want people saying anything. People's going to say something everywhere you go. But what matters is what he says. Have you sought him today? Do you want to seek him? Don't wait for the blessings to be passed out. Be seeking the Lord. And I'm telling you, while you're seeking him, if you need a blessing, he'll definitely pass you out a blessing. But seek him because you need him. Seek him because he's near. And seek him because you're calling upon him with 100% of your heart. And every Sunday morning, somebody asked me one time, they said, preacher, does it discourage you that folks don't come to the altar? It don't discourage me. But it does make me wonder why some folks carry such a load. Don't get me wrong. I know some people say, well, I do business at home. And I don't doubt people don't do business at home. But most people don't do business at all. They endure it. They carry it. They allow the weight upon their chest. And as soon as they leave out of the church house, it gets a little bit lighter and they think everything's going to be better. But it never totally goes away. They keep holding on to it. They keep holding on to it. I found the best thing to do, even if it seems like it's holding up the service to somebody else. But if I need to get something off my heart and God's there to take it, I'm giving. And you ought to too. Would you stand at your feet?